knock on the door one day, and I open the door, and there's a guy in complete scout uniform saying to me, Mr. Afford. So I said, yeah. He says, oh, well, I understand from the vicar that you you used to be in scouting, and you were a scout leader. I wondered if you'd consider, you know, when you sort of settled yourself in, you know, helping with our group, which is in Knightsfield, and it's the 9th Welling Garden City Scouts, you know, and we're just, you know, getting going, and we wondered if you would join. Of course I did, didn't I? You know, I was immediately... And we literally built that headquarters on... Well, yeah, we built the foundations, and of course you get a bricklayer in to do the bricking work and things like that, you know. But we helped wherever we could. And we built the Scout headquarters, which is actually on Knightsfield Hill and is now a dance studio. And it's a dance studio because what we didn't really realise at the time was there was another Scout group round the corner. Yes, Great Dell. In Great Dell, there was a third hut there, you know. But of course, we were serving essentially different sorts of areas, you know. But as the years went by, the district commissioner said to me, Alan, I think we should, you know, get together, really, and help. Now, your lot have got to decide which one we're going to stay with, you know, which one we're going to sell off, sort of thing, you know, get rid of. So it's always difficult to do that. But anyway, we eventually decided we'd stick with the old hut, which has more tradition than us, you know, and went back years. And they had a good team of people who looked after the place too, so that was an added bonus, really. And so we moved back to the other headquarters, which was the third in the Welling Garden City, and we became the third ninth at that moment in time. So I did some jiggling there to persuade people that this was a good thing for us, and fortunately it worked, you know. They believed me, and it went in as an amalgamated sort of scout group.
Which year?
When that had been probably, oh dear, we'd been the scouts again, probably about 63, 64, something like that.
How long ago was that?
Yeah. Or was it later than that? I don't remember. It might be a bit, yeah. Because I was their scout leader, and then I was their group scout leader. But in those days, once you became 65, you had to hand in your warrant. And I thought, well, that's fair enough. That's a youth movement. If that's what they want, that's what they want. Well, a group leader is essentially the sort of senior manager, if you like. And he deals with any problems that the leaders might have. And you're essentially supporting the leaders, making sure the leaders have got their training up to date and they've done all the latest courses that they have to do, and they do nowadays. So a lot, you know, and you're up with the latest first aid or whatever it might be that they have to do. And also, he looks after maintenance of the headquarters and things like that, you know, sort of thing. So he's the overall man in charge of that particular group. And I did that job for years, you know, as the third ninth, as the ninth first of all, and then as the third ninth group. Until, of course, I was told to leave. And it was a county camp where the chief scout arrived, sort of thing. That was at, I'm trying to think, the area is... It's outside St Albans. There's a huge area where we camped. Literally had to be a big area to take all the scouts in Hertfordshire. In our county. Yes, in our county. We all went there. You can see us now with the shorts on, those sort of shorts I'm talking about, and with the berries, and still that with the odd hat would survive like that. St Albans and meeting the chief scout who came to see us there at the time. Heaven knows what year that was, I can't remember. But he came to the county, essentially, to the county camp. And we met him there. Well, it just involved all my group camping there, sort of thing, doing all the activities that they generally do, and then lining up in a long line while he wandered past, sort of thing, you know.
A wide game. I like it.
That is the name that you use for, you know, these games which go far and wide.
So what other games would you play?
In scouting?
Games. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you would have relay games inside, doing all sorts of things, you know. Doing pioneering, perhaps, lashing up a trestle, and then using it to race on. a trestle is virtually a frame that you build, and it's a bit of a, it's one side of a tower, essentially, it's all it is. And it's, you know, two poles like this, two poles across here, and then the brace to like that, and you had to lash this on there, you know, sort of thing. And then, of course, you can use that by putting two ropes on the end. You can use it like a chariot, and you go whizzing down the big, just as long as the floor could stand it, you know. Things like that, you make a chariot out of it. And then you try, you know, stalking games. You turn off all the lights and get them to creep up on someone who's sitting cross-legged, and he's blindfolded, and he's got a pot or something between his legs. And if he hears a noise, he points. And if he points straight at you, you're dead, you know, so you're out of it. So it's creeping up on somebody, and that's quite fun. Especially they love to do this sort of thing, you know, and try and capture that pot or whatever it is without him pointing straight at them. I mean, some kids, they get right there and he goes like that. So, and anybody who could get all the way is good. And you could do this inside or outside, but you do it in woods or anything, you know, sort of thing. Have some sort of place where someone is, you know, guarding something, and you've got to get it off of them. But it's amazing how the kids get absolutely enthralled by this, you know, they've got to do it and get it right.
And at your peak, how big a, do you call it a pack?
Yes.
Would you have?
Well, normally you'd have about four patrols of up to about eight, you know, and that would go, or that would be a six in a cub pack or a patrol in the scout group. An option, as you see, you could wear a beret in those days or the old scout hat, which was modelled on, I think, the police in South Africa or something or other. Their hats were just like that. And, of course, Baden-Powell, who started the movement.
And they're quite wide-brimmed.
Yeah, wide-brimmed. And, you know, you can carry water in it, according to him. or the berry was coming in at that time. This is about the 1960-something, around 63 or 64, something like that. We changed our uniform to long trousers and to berries at that time. Gradually, berries have sort of gone out, and we don't, nowadays, if anybody's wearing a hat, it's a bit unofficial, and it's peak cap with scouts on.